Let's begin with a story that I heard from my grandpa, if I can remember it correctly. Long, long, long time ago, there were two farmers in Korean village. And if you know, in Korea, they didn't have a lot of bulls. So you may have one or two for whole village. And whole village is about, 20 houses, small villages. So they share one or two bulls. So in this small village, they only have one. So in the beginning of this spring, they have to take the turn, saying, you know, they have to cast a lot, and who gets the first and second and third and fourth, so that they can, you know, plow their field. And if you know farming, you have to do it to kind of, you know, that's the beginning process. So these two friend farmers are living close by each other, but somehow they happen to be the last two. So one friend was just having fun. Hey, I got extra vacation, so I'll enjoy this time until I get the bull and, you know, I get to plow my field. What can I do? There's nothing else I can do. So he was hanging out, having fun. And on the other hand, his friend didn't think so. He thought, there's only one bull in the village. Well, I may get my turn, may not. Who knows? And also, he didn't want to just, you know, idle out his time. So he started kind of using the ancient way, you know, using his tools. He was trying, you know, doing little by little each day. And when time passes, what happened was that the bull got injured. I'm just shortening the story. So one friend didn't get a chance to plow his field. That year, he didn't get a crop. The other one was already two-thirds way done. So he just finished the rest. Kind of thought about that story today because in this prophecy, if you read in prophet, somehow there is this hope, this belief that on that day, Messiah comes, everything will be fixed. Don't we have such a belief in ourselves too? Maybe in America, I believe you have heard about some, you know, presidential something. But but like one day you have the right president and everything will be fixed. Or one day you will have one person and everything will be okay. Have you ever seen such a thing happening in the human history? I haven't heard or seen it. And somehow, the Bible says exactly the same too. There is hope. We should have hope. Yes, we should be positive. We should be optimistic. But at the same time, there won't be the day when this miraculous hero appears in front of us and fix everything for us. So, in this Isaiah, on that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll. He didn't say all the deaf will be cured. It says, the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll. There's a difference. Somehow, we kind of developed this our own expectation. So my question to you in this short talk is, what is your expectation that you have before God? Telling, okay, God, fix it all. What is it that you want your God to fix it for you? Something that you cannot do by yourself. Well, I ask this question a lot, so don't be embarrassed. But how many of you actually have read the book called Isaiah? Yeah, a few here, right? That's good. Better than none. If you read this book, somehow you get to have this feeling, that expectation, that on that day when the Lord comes, the Messiah comes, somehow you will get to see heaven coming on earth. If you read this one too, like verse 19, the meek shall obtain the fresh joy in the Lord, and the neediest people shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. That's an amazing promise. Now, when we read the New Testament, do we really see those things happening? That's a tricky question, isn't it? Because the prophecy itself is quite tricky. You know, we automatically think all those joy and all those things are kind of materialistic. Like actually having the power, having this, having that. But when you read the prophecy closely, the joy in the Lord, it's not just the joy. Joy in the Lord. There's a huge difference. Having just the joy and joy in the Lord. And same thing is exult in Holy One of Israel. So their exaltation will be in the Holy One of Israel. Not just they will be exalted. So somehow the whole Bible is telling that, you know what, I'm not really literally mean it's going to happen the way it is written or the way you are listening. Jesus cured a man with deafness and also speech problem because of that. And how is it so significant that we have to read it and over again to us? Have you ever experienced? Have you ever been deaf? Well, you know, probably as we get senior years, you may experience some of that because you get to lose the power to hear the sound. But as probably you're young, or I'm young, but I remember when I came to the States for the first time, which was about almost 20 years ago now, I was trying to watch TV news. And there are about 5 words that I could pick. You, and, go, do, things like that. The rest of the dialogue was just a sound. Like, it was like a sound, like somebody singing in a foreign tone. That. And I was sitting in a classroom. A lot of things going in the classroom, right? It was a very active college class. I had no idea what they're talking about. I was just sitting there. It's not really exactly being deaf, but somewhat, in a way, close. But my inability was because my ear was not capable of picking up those words as correctly, and my mind was not really equipped with understanding these words. So as I was learning the language, I was able to hear, listen, and talk. I'm even preaching in English. So, which is quite amazing. Now, when we're talking about the other deafness, have you ever felt that you're talking to somebody and not a single word they're saying is actually crossing over to the other person's mind? Good. How about, do you remember yourself being that person? If you can remember both of it, good for you. Yes. Somehow, communication is very hard. Even if we speak same language. Why is it so hard? Because language itself is only to literally to exchange the thoughts that you have. And thoughts are popping up in our mind because there are certain emotions that are actually stimulating them. And certain emotions are stimulating us because we believe, we feel that's important or that's essential. So sometimes we haven't really figured out what we want to say, but we feel that we have to say something, so we say it. And what happens? Oh, we regret it. Or when you know that this person doesn't really mean what the person's saying, but that's all that you heard, what happened to you? Now, there's a lot of struggle. Should I really believe what I heard? Or should I really try to understand what's behind it? Or should I even try to think that this person really mean it or not? Or am I just crazy thinking about all this? Very hard, isn't it? In a way of saying, between human beings, saying what is white, white, what is dark, dark, or black, black, is even hard. You know how many white colors in the world? There's not one white color. Did you know that? If you ever shop in paint and painting, like, you're asking, I want to have a white. They'll ask, what kind of white? White. And literally, I heard that they can make 100-some different variations of white color. So, what kind of white? What kind of black? Right? What we even mean, like simple words, like joy, or I like it. Some people say, I like it because you don't be polite. You don't really love it, not good enough, but you don't want to use anything negative. You say, I like it. But simple, some people actually mean, I really like it, so I like it. How do you know the difference? How do you make the difference? So communication is something that's really, really essentially important, and that's what, in a way, God's trying in this book. God wants to communicate to us, with us, but somehow there is almost innate deafness on our side, or assumptions that we make, or expectations that is not exactly from God. Therefore, God really cannot somehow approach. In this story, Jesus cures this very specific man in a very interesting way. How many times do you really read in the whole Gospels Jesus actually touching somebody doing this to cure? Right? Usually, he uses the word done, and it's done. But this time, he take this man in a private way, touch the ears, and spat on his finger, and touch the tongue. What's all this meaning? Right? Somehow, there is this hardness about really listening. So, well, how long are we expecting to live in this planet? Well, I mentioned it a couple of times, but give or take, you get to be here, what, up to 120. So, depends on where you are, you may have 100 more years, or you may have 20 more years. What then? The message in this book is trying to tell us that there's something more, something beyond, something deeper, something more subtle than this world, this experience that we have. And the key to ensure the joy, the exaltation, the happiness that we were really seeking, even feeling the sense of security, in a way of saying, it's all in here and here. The power of your mind. It matters. Because in your mind actually is the place, the house of God. And I was actually, and I was sharing with the little kid, it's literally true. If you have love present in your heart, all your thoughts, all your actions become quite loving. How about when you have anger in your heart? All your thoughts, all your actions quite angry. Now, can you run both at the same time? Not really. They're not really compatible. How about hope and depression? Or hope and vanity? Being optimistic, being very pessimistic and negative. Can you run both of them at the same time? No, you cannot. Some people may think these are just illusions that our mind is creating, but at the same time, all that we feel as real is creation of our mind. So what would you like to have your mind as its key essence to generate to whole yourself? Being definite spiritually means somehow incapable of loving. It's being blindness is incapable of seeing the truth. Being deafness, which connects to the will, means somehow there's incapability, impairment happened in our will, in the part that we want to be loving, but we're not. And as I was sharing with this little kid, when God is present, there comes love. And there comes the power. There comes joy. Or security. There comes confidence. There comes comfort. There comes happiness. And you live in a world that is happy and sounding. It's not about how our government is managing. You can be free from that and at the same time living in it. In a way of saying, what God is trying to tell us in this book, as I read it, is that we should be free from this worldly matter. Therefore, we can see it in an objective way. Therefore, when we want to do something, I believe we can do a way better job when we are approaching it objectively, without any personal issues. But if you don't have love in your heart, it's a tricky thing. What do you have? Or what do we think our actions will be? I have counseled so many couples in marriage, divorce, and even after divorce. What kind of breaks relationship always happens in the breaking of this communication? And especially listening part. Yes, talking is important too, but listening part. And listening is only happening when I am willing to put down my ego, my issues, my preference, and try to see, okay, what do you have? Now, we come before God, I have my ego, my issue, my preferences, what will I hear? I can guarantee, right? Nothing. I'll just hear what I want to hear. Or even I'll make up what I want to hear and tell people that's what God told me. Humility is, in a way, real. Just like kind of emphasizing a servant way. If you're a servant, would you have your ego before your master? No. Would you have your own preference before your master? No. Would you have your own issues? Probably not. So, humility brings openness. Openness makes us to listen. Listening makes us to understand better. Understanding makes us to connect. Connection brings trust. Trust makes us to feel good and secure. And when you feel good and secure, well, you can call that happy and spiritually content. I'm just talking it in terms of our relationship with God, but I am sure this is very true in our human relationship, in all places. So that's why probably the Asian sage Confucius, 2,500 years ago, told us that we overcome ourselves to return to the manner. In his context, the manner is the most proper actions that we can do in a most appropriate way. So, what would you like to choose? And as I was, it's an amazing thing, however, this from this temple, this art, you know, tent of meeting to temple to this place that we have Bible open. Somehow God is giving us all the hints that God wants to be present within and around us all the time. Just like in Revelation saying, I am standing at the door knocking. Anyone hears my voice, opens the door, and I will come in and will eat with this person. Presence of love is surrounding us. It's all over us. You are made of love. You are capable of loving. Would you like to choose that or not? Is the question that is actually on all our hands. So, well, I'll leave that up to you and your relationship with God. And may God bless you all in finding, seeing, perceiving, and loving the ones whom you love and the ones who love you. Amen.